Welcome back to House of Bravo, where we break down Bravo shows and personalities from a cosmic perspective. I'm Emma, an astrocartographer and human design reader. Each week, we'll uncover the underlying energies shaping the drama both on screen and off, from current astro weather and events to deep dives into Bravo Liberty's energetics. This is your one-stop shop podcast to get your Bravo fix while learning to decode the language of the stars.
Hi, friends. What's up? I am back from sunny Puerto Rico, and I came home to a power outage. So I thought today was going to be a nice leisurely catch up amongst friends. And instead, I'm just hoping and praying that my computer doesn't die, my hotspot stays connected, and we can get through this. Never a dull moment around here. But I'm going to go ahead, just get right into it so we don't miss a beat here. And I feel like there's a lot of really fun things to talk about. I've been looking forward to this episode for the past week. Before we get into the Bravo of it all, we have some big astrological events coming our way. On Saturday the 18th, we have a beautiful Jupiter Kazemi in Taurus. Now, Jupiter's been in Taurus for about a year, and it is really about to move into Gemini on my birthday, which I'm very excited about. But before it leaves Taurus, it is going to have one last moment of shining, literally, because a Kazemi is when a planet is conjunct the sun. So on the 18th, we will have Jupiter and the sun kissing in Taurus. And it's just very lovely. I mean, Taurus, luxury, sensuality, pleasure, all of these just like really yummy things we associate with Taurus and Jupiter, and abundance and an expansion with the sun shining a light on this area. So definitely you're going to want to check out where 28 degrees Taurus falling in your chart. This is a great time to plug a free tool that I have for all of you guys. If you want to have these transits just in your personal calendar with the degrees and the dates and all that stuff, send me a DM. I have this just free, and you can easily just import it into your own digital calendar. I love referencing it. I think it's extremely helpful. I made it for myself. And then I figured since I put in the effort, I might as well share it with everyone else. So as I said, if that's something you're interested in, shoot me a DM and I'll send you the instructions and the link for how you can import it into your own calendar. So that's going down on the 18th, which, fun fact, is not only a special day astrologically, but is my grandmother's birthday and Teresa Giudice's birthday, which I always get such a kick out of because they're very similar in their stubbornness. I remember when I made that connection, I think like a year or two ago, and it just blew my mind because, yeah, they have a lot of similarities. Family is everything. They're very bullheaded. They're very stubborn. I mean, what can I say? They're both Tauruses. The next day on the 19th, which is one of my best friend's birthdays, there's so many birthdays in May. I love May. May is just, it lights my soul up. On the 19th, we have Mars conjunct the North Node in Aries. Now, as we know, Mars rules Aries. It is in its sign, its domicile. It's extremely happy there. And it's conjunct the North Node. And this is going to give us an extra boost of motivation, of energy, of go get them, of moving towards something that we want in life. That's going to be happening as I said, on the 19th, and that will be at 14 degrees Aries. So check out where 14 degrees Aries falls in your chart. What house is that in? What have you been trying to kind of kickstart in that area or move forward with in that area of your life, moving towards your purpose, your destiny? This is a great time to take advantage of that energetic boost that we're getting from the cosmos. And then on the 20th of May, the sun is going to move into Gemini. Gemini season will commence, and I will be even happier because this Gemini stellium just thrives in my season. So I am very much looking forward to that. Now, there are so many things that I wanted to talk about today, like Sandy's wedding, Aisha's proposal, like all of these things that I've been seeing happening, but I'm just going to stick to the shows, and maybe towards the end, I'll check the timing and see if we can fit any of these things in. First of all, let's just get into Summer House. I've been waiting to talk about this since I recorded last week, basically. I loved this episode. I'm loving this season, but I really loved so much about this episode. Of course, we have Alyssa's tarot readings. I was expecting astrology, but I totally understand why she stuck with tarot and pendulum. It's just easier, especially in a group setting. I've worked a lot of parties, and especially when the rest of the group wants to listen in, it gets really mentally draining for the group to listen over and over again to your sun is this and this is this. And especially when you don't have a base understanding of what these archetypes and concepts are, you're going to lose people's attention really quickly. So I think it was really smart for Alyssa to stick to past, present, future, tarot readings, do some pendulum questions for fun. And I think that it's hard to come on a show and to share your craft in this way. You don't know how you're going to be edited. You don't know how you're going to be received. I think she did just such a great job. And I love seeing someone from the Bravo Astrology community showing up on these shows. I met Alyssa, man, was it a year and a half ago? At Aliza Kelly's, it was one of her book events. She was doing a book launch, and I ended up sitting next to Alyssa. And here we are, these two Bravo astrologers sitting together chatting. I'm hoping she's going to come on the podcast, but I know she's really busy, especially now that everyone is now trying to book with her for being on the show. This is Stars X Alyssa. She makes all the cast breakdowns of the sun, moon, and risings at the beginning of each season. It's been an extremely helpful resource for myself when I can't find people's birth information. I always default to what she has. Thank you, Alyssa. I so appreciate you. So not only did we have Alyssa, I loved Kyle and Carl's little cigar chat. I just love West and Sierra's kind of middle school-ness in that relationship. I know West is not really appreciating it at this point, and he just wants to get down with the get down. Then we have Jesse and Sierra kissing and making up, which I thought was really cute, her asking West if she could kiss him. And West just seems like such a cool dude. Like, he doesn't, like, he's just so fun and carefree. Yeah, he's young and whatever, but he's got such a great attitude. If I were putting together like a Bravo blunt rotation, he might be in it. He just seems like a fun time, good dude, light, airy, all the things I'm looking for. I also love that all the girls are getting along. And it's unfortunate that it's taken a really bad relationship in the house to get to this point. But I really just love seeing all the girls coming together. And one of the things that Lindsay said during that conversation in reference to Carl was he can't match my fire. And she is so spot on with this. I mean, Lindsay has so much fire energy in her chart. And she also has a ton of cardinal energy in her chart. Lindsay's got a Leo sun, her north node's in Aries, her ascendant is in Aries. She's got Saturn in Sagittarius, which I think is where a lot of this conversation with Carl is coming from. Now, by whole sign, because I don't know exactly what time she was born, that's falling in her ninth house of kind of like higher thoughts, higher education, higher learning, philosophizing, figuring shit out, taking it to the next level. So I totally see where she's coming from with Carl. I mean, duh, you want the person that you're in a partnership with to be, you know, pulling their own weight and living up to their potential. And I honestly think that the way she's handling these conversations, at least what we are seeing on camera, is extremely mature and in a way that, yes, she's pushing him, but it's like through support, not like her, I don't know, her tone to me does not seem condescending or even really accusatory. I mean, she does say you set a timeline and this and that, and you can hear the frustration in her voice, but you like, it still seems like it's coming from a place of support more than anything else. She's got Mars in Capricorn. She's got Neptune in Capricorn. So like the lens that she's seeing life through and the energy that she has is in this very like work hard, play hard mentality. And Carl seems to be neither working hard or playing hard. So I see where Lindsay is coming from.
Wait, but also,
Carl, this is someone you've been, you know, best friends with, in your own words, for years and years and years. You know Lindsay. You know who she is. Lindsay is not going to treat you like a delicate flower. That's just not her approach. And I get that that may be what he wants and needs right now, but that's not the person he's going to be getting that from. And for him to expect that of her is basically asking her to not be herself, which not only is not fair to Lindsay, but looking at her energetics is not even something that she can do. Like, Lindsay is so herself. And that's great. We should be ourselves. We should be the best version of ourselves that we can be. Along those same lines, Amanda's really sticking out. Amanda, I feel like, is having a great season. Great in terms of maybe she's struggling being in the season and what she's going through during the season. But I think we see her really coming into her own to like start off in a very light, silly place. I don't even remember what it was that she spat out, but she like at their dinner, I don't know, at some point in the episode, she spat something out. And I can totally relate to this. Amanda and I have the same profile. We're a 5'2 profile, which is actually not a common profile. And I always really appreciate having examples so that I can witness of how this plays out in others. Because the thing about both the 5 and the 2 line that make up this profile is they're both projected lines. And it's really hard to know how you're coming off to others, how others are viewing you. And it's important to have people reflect back to you, people that you can trust, what it is that you're giving off. So it's like how Paige and Sierra pulled her aside in that Old Navy and told her, you know, what is your identity outside of Kyle? We see you getting lost in the sauce, basically. That's really important for a 5-2 to have, because you don't know how you're coming off. You don't know how you're being perceived. And with the lack of definition in Amanda's human design chart and the abundance of definition in Kyle, he is energetically extremely overpowering. So I really love that we see, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but her standing up for herself, we'll get to that in a second. To go back to her spitting something out, that second line as part of the 5-2 is tied to taste. Now, this is like, yes, physically what we're putting in our mouth and tasting. It's also kind of just like curating a space around you. It's really important for people with 2-line energy, whether it's in your profile, whether it's abundant in your other planetary placements in your human design chart, whether it is your taste cognition. Like, there are so many ways that this 2-line energy can manifest in a human design chart. But people with this abundance of this energy, are looking for something very specific. When there's something that doesn't align with that, that specificity that they're looking for, they know it's incorrect for them. So her spitting something out, God, I wish I could remember what it was, but it just brought me back to when my brother got married. He just had a very small ceremony. It was my parents and myself and my sister-in-law's parents and their dogs. And that was the whole wedding. And afterwards, we all went out to dinner, a very fancy, expensive restaurant in the city, and they did a special chef's tasting meal for us. And one of the things they brought out was smoked trout that the chef had like specially prepared. I don't know why any chef would think that on a special occasion you would want smoked trout. And I know, like me personally, I hate the sensation of smoky anything in my mouth. I don't like smoked meats, smoked cheeses. I went to a restaurant once and the dish had smoked almonds. I couldn't eat anything on the dish because everything tasted smoky to me, which is kind of ironic because I've been a smoker for most of my life. But that's the thing about this two-line energy. It may not make sense to other people, like, oh, you're a smoker. You always have smoke in your mouth. It doesn't matter. I know my body knows what it wants and what it doesn't want. And when there is something that I put in my body that it doesn't want, it is going to get rejected immediately. Like, immediately. So I thought that was really funny with Amanda. And just to kind of close the loop on that, having a taste cognition, especially depending on, this isn't even cognition specifically what we're talking about, but having that two line energy that's very much tied to taste in all senses of the word, it doesn't necessarily mean that like we won't try things, but we know what we like and what we don't like. And once we know what we don't like, why would we keep subjecting ourselves to that thing? Oftentimes, people with this energy very strong will know what they like or don't like without even having to try it. So I can look at a picture of a restaurant and know, am I going to enjoy eating there or not? It has nothing to do with anything more than just my body knows what is correct for me and what is incorrect for me, especially since Amanda and I both have this in our profile on our unconscious side. It's going to be tied to what is healthy for us. So, yeah, I think in a lot of ways we're seeing Amanda come into alignment with her design. She's doing what she wants to do. She's not giving in to the pressures of, oh, come out because everyone else is coming out. I mean, she's always kind of been this way. And she's like, no, I'm going to stay home. I'm going to be in bed. I'm going to relax. I'm just going to be here, which is, again, so in alignment with her design as a splenic projector, as someone who is not very defined in their chart. Being in other people's energy is very stimulating and intense for her. And it's important for her to have alone time where she can empty out her centers, be in her own aura, hear her spleen, her authority talking to her. The spleen is a very quiet authority. And it's really important for people who have a splenic authority, especially when they're newer to their design or newer to being in alignment with themselves, to spend a lot of time in aura and out of others' aura so that you can hear the spleen, understand its voice, and get accustomed to listening to it and following it to find alignment for yourself. So her kind of fighting for and putting her foot down on knowing she wants that house in the burbs, knowing that she wants to start moving into that phase in life. I love that she's standing up for these things that she knows are healthy and correct for her and what tastes or feels right in her body. We're also seeing Amanda getting a lot of recognition from the work that she does, which for a projector is one of the most important things, is being in a space where people can see your talents and recognize you and reflect that back to you. And in turn, you're getting compensated for that thing that you are providing to others through recognition, through resources to continue to do the work that you want to do. You know, even Danielle, after kind of putting Amanda down and making her feel like shit by not talking to her in that context of the Gabby situation. But then the next day she's like, oh, I respect what you do for lover boy. It's like, okay, I respect you in that space that I see you thriving in. So again, like Amanda getting recognition for something that she is doing for her system. Projectors have a system. For Amanda, it's clearly taste, design, creating visual experiences or products that resonate with other people. So for her to be recognized by the people around her that she also respects, must feel, number one, incredible, but is also extremely, it's helping her stay in alignment. Also in that conversation with Paige and Sierra, by them addressing with her that they see more for her, it's kind of her getting a invitation in a way. Waiting for the invitation is a projector's strategy. And what that means is you're out there doing your thing, doing your, being in your system, doing your work, waiting for recognition to come. And when people recognize you for what your talents are, they then invite you to provide those services further. So even though this is like a great example of an invitation where two people are saying, we recognize you and we want to see more of what you do, then Amanda coming back with, well, I always wanted to create a swimmer line for big-breasted women. And Sierra, someone who would be in that category, who would be a potential client of that swimmer line, to say, I would love that. Like, that is an invitation. That is what a projector is waiting for and can then act on and to move forward with. And I do hope that she does something along those lines. And I would love to see what comes of that for her. Kyle, in this episode, his behavior was really kind of crazy to me. He's acting like such a child. I get it. My family, basically everyone in my family is an entrepreneur. I understand that everything rides on you. It's extremely stressful, especially when there are employees that you have to keep paying. I would imagine that being in the public eye in the way that Kyle is would make it even more stressful, because now all eyes are on you, whether you succeed or fail. But dude, pull it together. Like, this reaction was really insane to me. And then the fact that he's now like DJing, like here she is saying, I want to step out of your shadow. And he's like, well, I want to DJ. But now here we see like Kyle is getting DJ gigs. Where's Amanda's thing? She's there supporting him. Like, I don't like that. I really don't like that. I think he's a child. I think he wants her to mother him in some ways. Yeah, gross. Don't like it. I also don't understand why these things can't exist alongside each other. Like, why can't Kyle be a DJ, Amanda have a swimmer line or whatever it is she chooses she wants to do, and lover boy still chug along? I don't get why it has to be one or the other, or why one of them can only pursue their dreams and the other one just has to be there to support. I think really it's just like they've gotten into this extremely codependent relationship and they need to figure out how to separate themselves from each other. And actually, maybe living apart would be good for that, although I don't think it would be good for Kyle. I think Kyle would fall into bad tendencies. All right, now over in Martha's Vineyard, we had couples weekend. I feel like there was a lot going on. I don't really want to talk about the drama. I mean, that whole thing with like people wanting to address Tasia, that was so messy. The whole thing was so messy. I don't understand. Like, who would think that that's a good idea? And I get that you would want to know if your man was doing things that you felt were inappropriate. But number one, honestly, like, it doesn't seem like Nick is really doing anything that wrong. Looking at someone shaking their ass literally in your face, like, I would not mind if my boyfriend was looking at someone's ass. It's not like he's trying to get with that person. Or what Noelle was saying about, I wouldn't want my man's arm around someone's stomach. Like, if you're that insecure in your relationship, it's not a good relationship. If I have to worry about my boyfriend's arm being on someone's stomach and that being an issue, like, that's the issue. that I can't trust him to physically touch someone else in a non-sexual way. In the fact that I can't trust that it won't become something sexual. So we're going to leave that to the side. But what I loved was what I'm seeing of Donald and Preston's relationship, which made me realize I don't think I've ever looked at Preston's chart. He's just over there kind of chilling and staying out of all the bullshit, which has kept him out of my eye for the most part. It's a little hard because I feel like we don't see a lot of Preston. He's kind of a supporting character, more so than someone who's given center stage or really featured. And I guess that's because he's not that dramatic and he's been staying out of it. But anywho, when we look at his chart, Preston is Pisces as fuck. He's got so much Pisces energy. So much Pisces energy. He's got his sun, his Venus, his Jupiter, all in Pisces. Pisces, the sign of creative, super sensitive, very empathetic, very intuitive. Of course, then there's that low vibe side of delusion and deception and all of that. But I don't think we've really seen that from Preston. Now, what does really surprise me about Preston is he has a 0 degrees Aries Mercury. 0 degrees, as we've talked about, it's this critical degree. It's a very nascent version of the energy, very young, not much control, and very like that archetype of that sign to the nth degree. And with Aries, we think about impulsive. We think about like a Lindsay kind of energy, right? Like she doesn't hold back. Same with who else? Jennifer Aiden, Melissa Gorga, Vicky Gunvalson. Like these are Aries archetype people. With Preston's Mercury there, you would think that he would have a lot more to say, pop off at situations, express his opinion left and right. We're not really seeing that. So my first thought was, well, is his Mercury retrograde? Because that would maybe explain a reservation or a disconnect from how you normally see that energy play out. But his Mercury is not retrograde. So then I start looking to other areas of the chart. And I'm further surprised when I see his moon, which is squaring his Mercury. That moon is in Sagittarius, also a very opinionated sign, very much going to say what you feel. And while I don't know exactly what time Preston was born, that moon is either going to be conjunct Saturn in Sagittarius or conjunct Uranus in Sagittarius, and likely is also conjunct Mars. So all of these Sagittarian placements are squaring that Mercury, and the moon is tied to our emotions. It's tied to what makes us feel safe, what all these things. The fact that his moon is in conversation with an Aries Mercury, again, just kind of further makes me think, where is Preston's voice in all of this? With Saturn being an authoritative figure, and I think we do see that. He's kind of there as this wise person, the voice of reason, and that does give Sagittarius Saturn vibes. But if we're going to speak about that Mars or that Uranus conjunct his moon, again, it's like, where are the opinions? Where are things popping off? Is it something that he's just keeping between himself and Jordan and not sharing in confessionals? Does he have a lot of this like control and I don't want to say manipulation, but is he keeping it behind the curtains? Does he not really want people to see? Is that as Pisces is symbolized by two fish? One fish is swimming up towards the surface. The other is swimming down into the depths. So is he keeping this kind of gossipy knowledge and information close to his chest? And I mean, I guess he is because that's what we're not seeing it, but the energetics are really, it's just surprising to me how this chart is playing out through him on our screens. The other thing, the one thing I should say that speaks to this closed mouthness or lack of opinions we're seeing from him is a Chiron in Gemini. Chiron representing a wound in Gemini around our communication styles, or whether it's like being received or seen as dumb, or maybe even kind of playing out as a retrograde Mercury would, where you're kind of afraid to share your thoughts for whatever reason. Maybe you were put down for doing so in the past. And so like that would say, that would speak to me of keeping your opinions close to your chest. But I don't know. I am getting, as I said, that kind of wise sage energy off of him more than a feeling of insecurity. So I would like to see more of Preston, to see kind of different sides of him shine through, and to also maybe see this mask in terms of not him not being who he is, but just seeing a more personal side of Preston and a less press releasey side of him. Speaking of press releases, when I was watching New Jersey, and this is something I've thought about in the past, and I guess I just never got around to doing it, but I thought it would be really fun to break down the season's taglines and like kind of explore where these sentiments are coming from based off of their natal energetics. So we're going to go through each tagline and kind of talk about it. So we start with Melissa, and her tagline this season is, "It's hard not to burn bridges when you're on fire." Now, Melissa has an Aries sun and Mercury. So hello, fire sign. Not burning bridges when you're on fire. Your sun is your ego. Mercury is how you communicate. So literally like burning down those bridges, not being afraid to kind of live that when one door closes, another opens mentality. But she also has a Capricorn moon, and these people are not afraid to make the hard decisions. Then we have Dolores. "I'm a girl from Patterson, playing Switzerland, dating Irish." I think this is such a lame fucking tagline, which makes me want to look back at her past taglines and see, are they also lame? This is so lame. Like, Dolores, this is not really about you at all. It's so matter of fact and fact-y, which, I mean, yeah, she's got a ton of fixed energy and she's super Saturnian with all that Capricorn energy. So it's just kind of like meh, which is what I think of when I think of a lot of Saturnian
energy.
Next we have, oh my God, Danielle, "I'm bougie, unbothered, and above your drama." Now, first of all, this is so Leo. She's got Sun, Mercury, Mars in Leo, and they're opposing her Jupiter in Aquarius. Jupiter, again, just kind of like inflating or expanding that energy in Aquarius, and how you are in groups and social circles, being kind of an outsider, which I definitely see Danielle as being. She's kind of just like this little sister energy that people are kind of using her to, are you on our side? Are you on their side? But the thing is, Danielle has a moon and Saturn in Scorpio. And that is squaring those Leo placements. So she really isn't unbothered. Like, she might be saying these things, but she actually isn't unbothered. And that even more so seems very young sister energy of, okay, I'm going to say these things because I think it sounds cool and whatever, but I don't actually, it's not actually true. Like, she also has her Chiron in Gemini, and Gemini represents children, a youthful energy. And we see that a lot with Danielle. Also, she's got these foot and mouth situations. It's like unlike Preston, who's keeping his mouth closed with that Chiron in Gemini, Danielle's the exact opposite. She's the exact opposite. And she also has a fire sign Mercury, although hers is conjunct that Mars. And as I said, opposing Jupiter. So I think it is where we see her pop off versus Preston's kind of closed lips in public display that we're seeing. But yeah, all that to say, Danielle is not unbothered. She is very much bothered. Then we have Margaret Josephs. While you're taking cheap shots, I'm taking screenshots. I am not quite sure what the hell this means. It sounds scorpionic to me. Is she talking about like taking screenshots of things you're posting on Instagram that she's going to keep these receipts for later? Is she talking about taking selfies? Like, I don't know what the fuck this means. She has Mars in Libra, so she's not afraid to rock the boat. It's opposing her sun in Aries. She's going to speak her mind. She's going to shine bright. She's going to do what it is she feels like she needs to do. A bit of like young kid at the playground. Nah, 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 nah. Like, that's what I'm getting from this. She has Neptune in Scorpio trining her Mercury in Pisces, and it's giving a little conspiracy theorist to me. I'm also confused by what's going on between Marge and Teresa. I know that Teresa, like Louis, had Bodidal do some digging, and I don't know, I guess he found something on Margaret and now they're in a lawsuit about it. I'm very confused by everything that's going on there. Then we have, okay, moving on, we've got Rachel Fuda. I don't know why I like always want to call her Jen. She seems like a Jennifer to me, or a Jen. Anyway, Rachel's line was, if you don't have my back, at least have a backbone. She has a lot of fixed energy in her chart. She's got Saturn in Aquarius, Jupiter in Leo, Sun in Taurus, Pluto in Scorpio. She also has a Sagittarius moon. So that's like this stand up for what you believe in, speak your mind energy. She's got Mars and Chiron in Cancer. It's this energy of protect your people, have their back, be loyal to those who are in your inner circle. So I thought her line was very, like, very representative of her energy. And then finally, last but not least, we've got Jennifer Aiden. Friends are like handbags. The fake ones are all too easy to spot. This screams Taurus Libra energy. She's got Mercury and Chiron in Taurus. Her North Node's in Libra. She's always thinking about the beauty, the material items. She's got Mars in Pisces, squaring Neptune in Sagittarius. Pisces is a very intuitive sign. It's playing off of her view of what's right and wrong, or true versus not true. Plus, she's also so Aries and loves stirring shit up. And she's got Chiron in Taurus, if I'm not mistaken. Where are you, Jennifer Aiden? Yeah, her Chiron's in Taurus. Like, tying hurt and pain and deception into these material, beautiful items, like a handbag. It just, again, makes so much sense. So actually, Jennifer Aiden, Rachel Fuda, Melissa, I think they were kind of my favorites. Oh, wait, where the hell is Teresa? Oh my God, what was Teresa's tagline? All right, Teresa, you can try to tear me down, but this tree just keeps on growing. It's cute because everyone calls her tree.
I don't know about that growing, though.
And Teresa has her sun and Mercury in Taurus. This is an earth sign. She also has her north node and Jupiter in Capricorn. She's got Pluto in Virgo. So she's got a lot of earthy energy. The you can try to tear me down. She has Saturn conjunct her ascendant. And to me, that's like this very steadfast energy. I mean, Saturn rules Capricorn, Saturn rules Aquarius. It's these very institutional signs. And Teresa is a fucking institution. Like, she is an OG housewife. Whether you like her or not, that's something you cannot deny. Which brings me to a question that someone posted in the question box this week. What do you guys want to hear about in this episode? And the question was, will Teresa be fired after this season? So I don't know if this is a rumor that's going around, but I don't see this happening. Like, from a personal perspective, similar to how Andy said Kyle wouldn't not be asked back, I don't see Teresa not being asked back. She's just given so much to this show. She doesn't hold back. You never know what you're going to get from her. There's a lot of financial drama with what's going on with Louie. And even though her and Melissa aren't talking, it doesn't seem, well, I don't know. I mean, we just started the season, but it seems like things just continue on and it doesn't really matter. There have been other seasons where, I mean, look at Potomac. It's pretty split and they keep moving forward in kind of the way they are. Although we have now post this season, we do see a lot of things have gotten shaken up. From a astrological perspective, while there's nothing specific, I mean, I didn't run all the transits for the next year, but I do wonder from a transit perspective what's going to happen in like 2027-ish or like 2026, 2027-ish when Jupiter moves into Cancer and starts to activate her Mars-Venus conjunction that's in her second house. So it's not necessarily that, like, that wouldn't be a firing per se, but I can see something really big happening with her. That transit would affect her family, her personal finances, her values, something along those lines. And it is in her, yeah, it's in her second house. I don't think Teresa's not going to get asked back, but I am really curious to see what's going to happen with that. Like, is she going to get her own show? Her family's own show? Are they going to have a spinoff? Because that is opposing her Jupiter in Capricorn in her eighth house. Cancer, your family, Mars and Venus conjunct is just this really fucking powerful, potent, strong energy. No matter what sign it's in, that conjunction is so potent. It's this blending of the masculine and feminine, of the receptive and the go-getter, and in opposition with Jupiter, which is a sign of expansion in the eighth, shared entities in Capricorn, hard working. Sorry, guys, I couldn't put my phone on silent because as I think I mentioned, like, a bunch of my family members are sick and I have to kind of be on call. Yeah, so I'm like really intrigued to see what's going to happen when Jupiter moves into Cancer, starts activating those placements. I'm in no rush because I'm very excited for Jupiter to be in Gemini in the next year plus. But it's something to look out for in the not too far future and what that could mean for Teresa. Now, Teresa is currently in her Chiron return. Her Chiron is in Aries. It's in her 11th house of social groups, hopes, and dreams. We do see her struggling financially, potentially. I mean, that's what kind of all the hype for this season has been, is supposedly Louis has pissed away all her millions of dollars. Aries is a wound around independence and standing on your own. And maybe she's learning a lesson that she should have protected her money better because it's trining her Leo moon. Now, obviously, most people love their families, but Teresa's love for her family, minus Joe Gorga, of course, her brother, it runs so deep. I want to be loved the way Teresa loves. Like, there's just something about that love that is a little psycho, but in the best way possible. Like, you just know she's going to have her family's back, those people that she loves, their back. And I think that's something that's really special.
Although, actually, I have that because, as I said, my grandma has a lot of similarities as Teresa.
And I guess it's something that Jen Fessler wants a piece of as well, because her, in this last episode, going against everything that she said to Marge, I mean, she hasn't brought up Marge to her And maybe actually it wasn't so much don't be friends with her, but don't speak about me when I'm with her. I don't remember the specifics. And it's like the opposite of what we were talking about with Dolores last week, where she's just the most fucking loyal. Yeah, Dolores. I just love Dolores. Does anyone, like, seriously, if you don't love Dolores, can you please let me know? I would love to hear someone else's perspective. Or, like, if you know someone that's not into Dolores, please hit me up. I need to know the other side. As a Sagittarius rising, I feel like I'm so good at seeing all these different sides, but I just cannot see how you wouldn't like Dolores. Unless you don't like someone that's that loyal. And, like, that loyalty rubs you the wrong way, because why aren't you standing up for what's true and what's right? But I feel like Dolores is loyal and still stands up for what she feels is true and right. Like, she'll say, I don't agree with it, but I'm still going to support you. Yeah. But, I mean, we talk about how she's so Capricorn. Here we see she's, like, reinstating her real estate agent license. Dolores has been a corrections officer, a surgical assistant, a real estate agent. She's a philanthropist. She's had so many careers. I love that so much. And I wonder if she's a Sagittarius rising, which would put Capricorn in her second house. It would, like, you know, making your own money would be extremely important to you. Having a loyalty in your values and, like, being really steadfast in your values and what's important to you. Libra in her 11th house, so being Switzerland in her social groups. It would put Aquarius in the third, her local life and, like, neighborhood life being broadcasted around the world for the people to see and experience. Frank Catania is a Sagittarius and is a big part of her identity, so that would fall in her first house whole sign. But I could also see her being a Libra rising, or maybe even Scorpio, because she has this sex appeal to her that's just undeniable. So yeah, just some musings. I would like to hear, like, what do you guys think Dolores's rising sign is? Those would be my guesses. Sagittarius rising, which would put Teresa as a Gemini, like, as well. She's a Taurus, but Teresa has a lot of Gemini energy. It would put that in Dolores's seventh house of one-on-one relationships, which would kind of also explain their friendship together. So yeah, I, like, first and foremost, I would see her as a Sagittarius rising. But in terms of, like, your rising sign can show a lot about how you look, like, your appearance. Her appearance is not giving Sagittarius rising. When we think of Sagittarius rising features and appearances, it's often someone who's tall, maybe slender, a striking nose, I think, is often associated with Sagittarius risings. Whereas Dolores is kind of this, like, cute little package. As I said, she's beautiful. We think Libra rising. She's got these, like, eyes and the sex appeal, Scorpio rising. So, leaning towards Sagittarius, with the exception of those physical features. But yeah, speaking of loyal and wonderful and a great mother, I need to go check on my mother and my grandmother. I'm sure you guys heard those texts coming through a little while ago. I need to make sure everyone in my family is doing well. I also have Mars and Chiron in Cancer. Family is very important to me. I'm very dedicated to them. Oh, which also reminds me, so many people ask me to cover VPR and The Valley. And guys, I just, like, I've never watched those shows. I've never found an interest in them. But right before I started recording, one of my best friends, who's actually, as her birthday is coming up this weekend, she's not into reality television, or I should say this kind of reality television. She likes, like, 90 Day Fiance or Married at First Sight. Like, one of those is kind of up her alley. And I did turn her on to Housewives of, was it Durban or Cape Town? Whatever the first South African Housewives were, because she does live over there. But anyway, she messaged me right before I came on here and said she's starting Vanderpump Rules. So if ever there was a time for me to watch this show, it would be now while my bestie is binging it. So this might be the time, guys. I don't know. especially now that we're entering Gemini season, I don't foresee myself binging a lot of TV, but we'll see. And honestly, I hope I can get into it because I know so many of you want to hear about it. And I'm here to give the people what they want, but also to do what's interesting to me. Need a healthy balance as a with that two line. I know what I like and don't like. I'm going to have to wrap it up for today. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Please rate, review. It helps other people find this content. Also, share with a friend. The more of us there are, the more of a party it is. I feel like I talk about this podcast as a we a lot. Like, we will cover this, we covered that. And some people might say, well, there's only one of you, so who's the we? And like, the we is the us. It's the royal we. Yes, I'm the one speaking, but I love for this to be collaborative. I am a project manager at heart. I'm a coach. I love teams and collaborations. So I really do see this as a collaboration amongst you guys and myself, which is why I put that question box up on Wednesdays. What do you guys want to hear about? And while I do apologize that, you know, some of the things you request, such as Vanderpump and The Valley, are not in my wheelhouse yet, yeah, this is something for all of us. So on that note, if you're not following along on Instagram, make sure you go ahead and follow at The Cosmic Clubhouse. And please send me your thoughts, your opinions, and let me know what it is you want to hear. I hope you guys all have a great week. Don't forget to take advantage of this Jupiter Kazemi coming up, of this Mars conjunct the North Node coming up, and just have a wonderful week all around.
Bye.